Hello, and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian, and our guest today is Grace Baylor. Hi.
Hello, Erin.
Thank you for being here. What are you reading these days?
Okay, well, thank you for having me. First of all, a book that I'm reading, and I feel like potentially every woman in America might resonate with this. I'm reading All About Love by bell hooks. It is quite life-changing, and I love reading it in public because I express myself very clearly with my face. And so whenever I'm reading it, the amount of times that my jaw will just drop, because she's just dropping truths left and right. Yeah, so that's one thing that I'm reading. I also just finished a book called Outrageous Openness, and it's like a very spiritual book, and it's very beautiful. It started off as a column, and then they turned it into a book, and I love stuff like that.
Man, I love that. I love that you say you have a very readable face because I
Oh,
do
yeah.
too. I multiple times in my life I've had to be told, like, Erin, people can see you. They can see the faces you're making.
It's I so badly wish, and we'll dive into this because of the book that we're talking about today, but I sometimes so badly wish I could come off cool, calm, collected, not show my cards.
Oh, me too. Me too. Oh. But
That's
speaking of, our book today is the first book in the Gallagher Girls series by Allie Carter. I'd tell you I love you, but then I'd have to kill you from 2006.
Yes, 2006.
A little bit about 2006. Steve Irwin dies, RIP to a real one.
Oh,
Also dies Saddam Hussein. Very
no.
different ends of the spectrum. Setting the stage. It's the year of the Enron trial. There is a 8-year federal study that finds a low-fat diet does not decrease the risk of heart disease, cancer, or stroke. Many in the medical community call the results stunning.
Wow, would you look at that?
I know, which especially they do talk a little bit about dieting, about girls' bodies in 2006 felt very accurate. And
Yeah.
then if you Google April 6th, 2006 fish. You'll get all the information about this. But a group of scientists report finding the fossil of a 375 million year old fish that has early signs of limbs. It suggests the missing link between fish and land animals.
Wow, we love a suggestive missing
I
link.
know. Fish, that thing fascinates me.
Interesting. And also, okay, I feel like 2006, it was Steve Irwin may have died. However, Steve Martin gave us Pink Panther that year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a constant energy exchange in this universe.
Absolutely. That just feels so, yeah, synergistic, those two things. I love it. Man. So, Gallagher Girls by Allie Carter. I have a little synopsis up here. The Gallagher Academy for Exceptional Young Women is a fairly typical all-girls school. That is, if every school teaches advanced martial arts and PE, chemistry always consists of learning about the latest in chemical warfare, and everyone breaks CIA codes for extra credit in computer class. So, in truth, while the Gallagher Academy might say it's a school for geniuses, what they really mean is spies. But what happens when a Gallagher girl falls for a boy who doesn't have a code name? Actually, what a good synopsis.
I'm reading it on the back of the book,
I
saying it too, and I'm like, yes, bring life to this.
am so glad you picked this book because I had been thinking about this book recently. I did not read it when I was young, but I had it.
Oh my
So,
gosh.
first off, what's your story with this book? How did it come into your life?
I feel like one of my friends growing up, I'm pretty sure she's the one who introduced it to me. And it was like a friend that I had in my neighborhood. And all of my girlfriends and I, as kids, we loved the idea of like being spies. We thought it was so cool. So I feel like we all read this book right after, oh my gosh, what was the other one? The other book series that came out. It was about like cats. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Warriors?
Warriors, yes.
I'm so waiting for someone to do that on this show. I'm waiting.
One too. That's such a good, that was also formative in my childhood. And this was like the post-Warriors era where obsessed with the idea of friendship and community, but make it fun, make it spicy. And so my friends and I all started reading this. And then we all kind of decided to be like kind of like little neighborhood spies in a way. And like we would do like I think it's called a like a dead drop or a drop or something. We would do like drops. We would like take recon of the neighborhood. We would write about things. We really got into this, especially over one summer. And so this book to me, not only was it an escape from my world, but it was also an entrance into another world in real life.
Wow. Do
Yeah.
you have any idea about how old you were when you read it?
I think I was probably about like 10. If it came out in 2006, okay, I was born in 97, so I would have been 9 in 2006. So I was probably like 9, 10. That's when I read
Yeah,
it. Yeah.
man.
Yeah. And I this is like a newer version of the book. My first ever version of the book that I had, it was just the cover came off. I read it so often. I read it so often. I loved it.
I love that. This was a book that my mom picked up for me and gave to me. And I feel really bad about how many times my mom like saw something and was like, "This made me think of you. I think you would like it." And I was like, "Absolutely not. Skip, get out."
That's parenthood, though. That's parenthood. Yeah.
But I know she eventually read it and she must have loved it just from the sheer number of Buffy references in it.
Oh, yeah.
Off the wall, off the wall. But I loved it. And I loved the reason I was thinking about this recently is I love the like super spy genre.
Same.
And I feel like it had a huge moment in the 70s, probably like, when it first came into being. And then I feel like it had a bigger resurgence in the aughts, especially for kids. Like I think about Kim Possible and like Totally Spies and all of these things. Spy Kids, yes.
It did have a resurgence, and it had a little bit of one for like the adults too, and like teens. Like Get Smart came out. I used to even watch Jason Bourne as a teen.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff, I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, I was thinking Charlie's Angels.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh my God, Mrs. Yes. And even like Agent Cody Banks, all
Yes.
this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, which is so interesting. I feel like if art holds up a mirror to the culture, what were we saying then, you know?
I mean, 9/11. It's always there.
Always there. It's always there.
Yeah, but I think like, yeah, there's seeing the world changing so much. Technology was changing so much, of course, with the internet coming into being. And I think it's like taking all these really scary phenomena happening in the world and making it sort of fun and playful and gadgetry and teamwork.
Yeah, it was like the play element of life. And I think too, like being a 9, 10-year-old early teen, preteen, hanging on to that playfulness.
Yeah.
It's like the action genre is still very like real. It's very intense, but like the spy part of it is it's play. It's fun.
Yeah. And I loved how Ally Carter, the author, uses this idea of like being a spy to really bring to light a lot of really interesting phenomena about being a young person, especially like the pervading metaphor is Cammy, our protagonist, is the chameleon, and that
Yes.
she is the person that no one sort of takes a second glance at. She's the every girl. And I loved that because they talk about in this book, it's a skill, the best spies are the ones that no one looks twice at, but what is it like to carry that and not feel seen and sort of feel every day?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And as a kid reading it, it's kind of funny. Like, now that I think about it, I'm like, oh, it feels almost Sex and the City-ish, where it's like, oh, what character am I? And I'm like, oh, I remember identifying so much with Cammy and wanting that so badly, wanting her life so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, it rides so many interesting lines. So her mom is the headmaster of this school. And I think first off, like Secret Academy very Hogwarts, but I feel like that was also sort of in the zeitgeist.
Yes.
But also like secret place where you automatically get community and you find that all of your oddities are superpowers.
And it's all girls too. Like that in of itself, I was like, okay, that's, I think, what I loved the most about this world is that it was just all these gals hanging out, supporting each other, learning 14 languages together.
It's just the details, I think, that were so good. Like Ally Carter created such a vivid world
He did.
in all of the little details about the school. Like in their cafeteria, they have like a light up board of like, this is the language you're allowed to speak in right now. We're doing conversational Swahili today.
Love that.
And like the chemistry professor is trying to quit smoking. So they develop, instead of a nicotine patch, it's like a tranquilizer patch that they just slap on people. It's so vivid.
It's vivid, it's so creative, and the way that it reads too, it's so easy to read, but it's also at like a nice reading level. Like rereading it as a 27-year-old, I was like, this is quite enjoyable still.
Yeah,
Felt really good.
absolutely. And I think it deals with really interesting themes. Like a lot of the books that I read on this podcast deal with like identity and the isolation of being a kid, which I think is always so universal. And I think also like when I was thinking about this book before you had mentioned it, I automatically was like, that's probably something that like no one else ever read. And that's an idea that like comes up so often on this podcast is everyone's like, no one must have heard of this.
Right? But we all
And
do.
exactly, which is just, I think, just nice. And like you said, it's about community. I loved, like, I was an only kid. And so I really resonated. You too?
Yeah.
There's a line in the book takes place over her sophomore year of high school. And there's a line where everyone is about to come start school in the fall. And she goes from being, an only child in this huge empty castle to being one of like 300 girls in a family, and I was so jealous of that now
Right.
as a 26-year-old.
And I love back to like the themes that it touches on. I love that it is largely about female friendships. Like it captures the heart and soul of that. And as a kid, I used to look to media as a way to inform myself how to socialize and how to belong in the world, how to handle internal conflicts, how to handle external conflicts. And the biggest guidepost in my young years was Lizzie McGuire, for sure. But then I would say Gallagher Girls came in at a very close second because there's something so cool about enjoying a piece of art and seeing yourself reflected in it and learning the things that these characters are experiencing and feeling. Those feelings do exist. And it's okay that you're also experiencing them, even if you don't go to spy school. And it's okay to have conflict within friendships, and conversation can resolve them and all that jazz. Like this book is entertainment for sure, but it goes so much deeper.
I love that you said that it's okay to have those conflicts in friendship because I think that's like the scariest thing in the world.
God, I know, right?
Especially when you're young, and there were so many times where I like, especially in high school, I had this friendship that I hung on to for dear life, even though like it wasn't the best person, the best group. And one thing I loved is I think so Cammy falls in love with a town boy and has to keep it a secret, and so a lot of like the spy adventures become how can we use our spy skills to figure out boys.
Yeah, which that's so, I mean, technically did not really pass the Bechdel test, but girls are girls. Girls gotta be a girl.
I definitely could hear like my very feminist mom saying like, it's all about boys and stuff, but that is also the interests of young girls.
Yes, it is. It fed that part of our souls.
Exactly. And I think there's a moment where near the end, Cammy is sort of choosing, the narrative is set up that Cammy is sort of choosing the boy over her friends, and then they have to, suddenly their final exam, and they have to do this mission. And it's very quickly like, oh, we're still on your side. Like none of that changes. We're still going to work together. We still love you. We're still behind you 100%.
Yeah.
Which I loved. It was is that like the friendship is not conditional by any means.
No, the friends, if anything, they encouraged her to learn a lesson herself. And I, in my real life, I really appreciate when friends give space for that. As someone who's dated a fair share of men, it does happen. And I remember in my adolescence too, choosing boys over my friends and not being able to understand the multitude of feelings that that gave me. But the book was a really good template for understanding that.
And so the book is, I think, the first of maybe six. Did you read the whole series and revisit this one?
I did read the whole series. I think there might be, if there's six, then I am behind. I feel like there might be four, and they got better and better. They did. Yes. And it was so cool too that it starts off with them being like sophomores in high school, and then it goes all the way through until like the end of the academy. And I so badly would love to hear and read about like what those women are doing like now.
I
If they were our
know.
age, I would eat that up. I would love to read all about that.
Oh my gosh. Sex in the City for spies.
Honestly, though, it's like kind of about time that we had that. Like the action genre is not just for men, and it's so fun to have a feminine edge to it as well. It gives it a plot, a deeper plot.
Absolutely. I was thinking the other day about like, what do I want my career to be? And it is like, I want to be the Greta Gerwig of like fun action movies, you know?
God, Aaron, I love that. I want that for you too.
I know, and also of like my boyfriend and I really love like modern noir, like LAPI with a problem,
Yes.
and I also want to be Martin Short. Inexplicitly,
I love that.
oh
I want to be Steve Martin, so I understand
my
deeply.
gosh, let's do a tour together. Come on.
Yeah, maybe we do an action movie together where we are the two spies.
My gosh, and we're both in little suits.
I mean, to be honest, I do everything I do for the outfits.
True. Oh, and I did want to mention this just because reading it the whole time, I'm like, this is madness that this has not been adapted for the screen. It has been optioned. I think all options have expired. The last I can find any news of it is from 2013.
Okay, there might
But
be an opportunity here.
exactly, Ally Carter wrote her first original screenplay fairly recently. It was a Netflix Christmas movie with Brooke Shields and Cary Elwes. So I'm feeling like we can make
Whoa.
that happen.
I think
We
we
can.
absolutely could make that happen. Honestly, this would be an amazing TV show or
Absolutely.
movie for young women. But also, I kind of feel like for our age too, I would eat that up. If I were to pitch this, I would love to see the Gallagher Girl Academy, but like college age.
Yeah, Sex Lives
Like,
for College Girls, but spies.
yeah, because that way too, you can have like a little bit more fun. But I mean, yeah, I saw on the back of the book, optioned for film by Walt Disney Pictures. Nuts.
You mentioned Lizzie McGuire earlier, and those two are
Yeah.
so, like, the tone is right there. It's
The
so
tone is
good.
there. The tone is there. And Ally Carter is a phenomenal writer.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And Christmas novel coming out this year. I
Love.
loved, she describes it as Knives Out with kissing.
What an elevator pitch. I'm sold.
Exactly.
I will be buying that novel. I will be buying it. I will be watching it immediately.
I think it's her
Or the movie.
second adult novel, and the first one just came out recently. It's called The Blonde Identity.
Okay, I love her.
Me
I love
too.
her.
I did a tiny bit of research, and she got her like undergraduate degree in like agricultural economics or something way out there.
Okay, so she's a pivoting
I
queen.
know, I love it. Ally Carter is a pen name.
Is it a pen name?
Yes, and it was something like, here it is. She chose the pen name to distinguish the book she would write under that name from other books. And the last name Carter was specifically selected so that her novels would be near those of her fellow novelist Jennifer Cruz on bookstore and library shelves.
That is such a strategic move, and I love it. That's smart. That is so smart. So wait, okay, if it's her pen name, what's her real name?
Sarah Lee Fogelman
Ooh.
from Locust Grove, Oklahoma.
Wow, that's cool. She's talented. I would love to see this option for film.
Me too.
I would buy a movie ticket immediately.
Oh, immediately. I would call my agent, say, get me in there, please.
Ian, get me in the writer's room. Let's go.
Exactly. I can I love being an actor. I'm so glad to do it. I never expected that I would. It's making aging really weird because I'll go to the dermatologist and be like, I have these lines on my face. And he goes, yeah, that's grown up. You're in your late 20s. And I'm like, yeah, but can I play 15? Can I still play 15?
Okay. And now I have the question, what character, if any, did you identify with or would you want to play on screen?
I was so resonating with Cammy being the chameleon and feeling invisible in the wallflower.
Yeah.
If I was like submitting myself to the breakdown, I would do Liz. I wear glasses. That's my type. But there's also one moment that I love. One of the big things that happens in the book is that a new girl comes to Gallagher Academy, Macy, who's very cool and different. And everyone's sort of like, she's just here because she's rich and her dad is a senator. But what we discover, and this is something I love in all things that was like a big lesson I got out of Girl Scouts, actually, is that everyone has a superpower, everyone has a special skill. It is our job as a community to find those things in each other and bring them out and learn and celebrate. And so they discover that Macy knows everything about boys. They phrase it even as like she's our professor of boys. So they're going through at one point, they hack into Josh, the boy's computer. They're going through emails. And at one point, Liz corners Macy and she goes, what is it about boys that makes them refer to each other as brother in that way? I don't call Cam or Beck sis. Why? She demanded, as if her life depended on her understanding this fact. Why?
Love that. I love that. And I agree with you how everyone does have a superpower. And Girl Scouts, I can really relate to that. I also did Girl Scouts from ages like 4 until 14. And that was pivotal in understanding. And I feel like this book captures it so well with the look
Absolutely.
of young women. No, you don't have to like everyone, but you do love them. You respect them. You root for them. Even if they annoy the hell out of you, or if you get into a bunch of little fights, you still believe in them. And this book is so much about that. And I do love, like, yeah, Macy had the boy knowledge and they recognized that and they uplifted it and they cherished it. And yeah. And I love Liz's reaction because her life probably did depend on knowing that and understanding that.
Yeah, and Liz definitely would be like, this is frustrating to me on like a social personal level of like I don't understand these social rules, which I get really well, I get a lot as well. But also Liz very much is like, this will be helpful in the field.
Oh,
This
yes.
will come in handy. And she's always like preparing for a quiz. She's always doing extra credit. I loved it. I'm very much a Liz. What about you?
Okay, it's so interesting. When I was younger reading it, I kind of wanted to be Liz and Cammy. I loved how smart Liz was. And I was like, I want to be that smart. That I love that. But then in terms of Cammy being the chameleon, as a child, I've always had this like desire to fit in and like be a chameleon. But now that I am me, I way more identify with Bex. And
Oh.
I really do. And like standing out can also be a superpower. And standing out in the right rooms can help you fit in. And I love how bold she is and got a good head on her shoulders. So now as an adult, I really admire Bex's character. But as a kid, I definitely wanted to be like a Cammy Liz combo.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I feel like that is such a huge, like, what a beautiful metamorphosis, to like Bex is so cool, and I feel like to look at your younger self and be like, guess what? You're gonna become a Bex.
I know I would have been freaking out as a kid. I've been like, what do you mean? What? But it's like, actually, yeah, you can be a Bex. Cammy is cool, don't get me wrong. And being a chameleon, if need be, I can do that. But do I want to? Not really.
Yeah, that there's value in who you are as you, I love that, as you find yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I loved Macy's character too. I loved, as a kid, not so much. I was like, wow, this is kind of a bitch.
Yes.
But now, as an adult, I'm like, oh no, she knew what she was doing. She's smart.
I loved how they introduced her character with all these details of like the very first thing you see of her is a black combat boot. I was like, oh, it's really 2006 here.
So 2006,
She
so
is
2006.
a nose piercing classic.
I also love too that they went with the name Josh for the love interest. That
Yeah.
is also so 2006. Like, of course, his name is Josh Abrams. Okay.
Oh, now I want to do like a study of all aughts media for girls and tally up. I feel like Josh,
There's one in everything,
everything.
at least mentioned. The design of the book, too, is just really chef's kiss. Like the font, how they use all the cutout letters and everything. I love that. Well, as an adult rereading this, the character of Joe Solomon, I was like, this is so funny because I did not really pay attention to his character as a kid. But now as an adult, I'm like, ooh, Joe Solomon.
Joe Solomon is the sexy new teacher.
They really like push that, which is so funny because also as a kid, I do remember having crushes, admittedly, on a handful of teachers, which that feels so like weird to admit, but I think we've all been there.
I think it's a normal and natural part of growing up.
Yeah, but I love that Allie Carter kind of sprinkled that in a different age. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a point pretty early on that I had highlighted where they're talking about like how hot Joe Solomon is, but he's described in a white shirt and khaki pants.
Love it. There's also, oh, there's something too where it was like, oh, okay, here we go. When we turned around, we saw a man walking in our midst who would have made James Bond feel insecure. Indiana Jones would have looked like a mama's boy compared to the man in the leather jacket with 2 days' growth of beard who walked where my mother stood and then, horror of horrors, winked at her. The writing of that is so good.
I had that highlighted too. There is something like a leather jacket is classic, is cool wherever you are, but especially in the early aughts.
Like, this is how you introduce a character.
Absolutely. They're so good. All of the introductions are so good.
They are, and they're so just descriptive, even of like the side characters too. I feel like the author really adds in at least like one physical trait that just helps you paint a mental picture, but she leaves the rest up to your imagination based on how they act. But she's like, here's a little bit, here's a little info, and you conjure up the image yourself.
Again, it's those details. Like there's one professor who's like getting his face surgically changed every year.
I loved that. I loved that.
There's like dumpy Mr. Moskowitz who's just like so excited to try to do all this spy stuff in the field. So
There's
cute.
a reason why he's there at the academy.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just like, again, it's like everyone has that special skill and we're all stronger together. I love that when Cammy develops this interest in Josh, everyone is for it. No one is like, this is dangerous. They understand that they need to keep it a secret for like the preservation of the school.
Yeah.
But everyone was like, yes, have a crush, go crazy.
And that's girlhood right there. Everyone had her back. Everyone had her back. And then everyone really had her back towards the end when she thought, oh, no one's gonna have my back because the way I've been acting. But no, they still have your back because that again is also girlhood. Yeah.
Yeah, there's,
Really annoyed with you, but they love you.
yeah, and there's so much like forgiveness, I think, within them, which is, it's hard to have that amount of grace at that age.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. So it's nice for a piece of literature to demonstrate how to have that grace at that age.
Yeah, I loved what you said earlier about taking so many cues from media on how to interact socially, about how to process, because that's, I feel like that's everyone, you know? I love
It is.
that.
I remember pitching to my mom when I was really young, and I had just been allowed to start watching the Disney Channel. I was like, Mom, I really want to watch Lizzie McGuire. Like, because I was typically only allowed to watch animated things for a while. And then I was like, I know this is real people. I want to watch it. It teaches me how to talk to people and how to like be in this world. So may I please watch it? And she watched an episode with me and saw that there were like demonstrable life lessons in it. And she was like, okay, you can watch it.
I love that. I had highlighted really early on. Oh God, I read it on an ebook, so I only had it highlighted that Macy uses the phrases "so yesterday," classic Hilary
So
Duff song. But then I clicked on it, and Macy's full sentence is "food is so yesterday."
oh my God.
What a nightmare. And also so of the time.
Oh, of the time, so accurate. Yeah. And I mean, if she stepped out of a limo wearing combat boots, of course the girl has an eating disorder.
But like also you're a teen girl in 2006. Of course you have an eating
Of
disorder.
course you do. Of course you do. That's also part of girlhood.
Man, I feel like kids these days just don't understand magazine culture.
No. Oh my gosh, they definitely don't. But I'm also, my heart goes out to them because I bet that they are facing a whole other
Absolutely.
toxic subculture, like that I can't even begin to wrap my head around. And I don't want to. I really,
No.
but yeah, the magazine culture, food is so yesterday, nothing tastes better than skinny feels, like all that shit that we had to consume. We consumed that.
Yeah, there's a podcaster named Chelsea Devantes who has a podcast called Glamorous Trash that this podcast would not exist without that one because it's about reading celebrity memoirs. And I just read her memoir and she keeps bringing up this one detail from a Kelly Clarkson interview where she goes, if you're ever having a craving for sugar, just suck on frozen grapes and that's as good as dessert.
Oh, the way that I would make frozen grapes, though, as a nice little eating disorder snack, poignant, so poignant. We are every woman. Every woman is us.
It's all in me.
If this were to like be taken to television and film, it would be cool to like kind of rewrite that narrative or to like call it out in a really
Yeah.
fun way. Or if I had creative direction and control of this, I would totally actually probably embrace that, but in a very satirical way.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
This is begging for satire.
Yes. And I think it's like because there's such a keen understanding of that age, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah.
It's I'm gonna try to do the math so super quickly. I think she would have been early 30s when she wrote this, maybe mid 30s.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, when you're in your mid 30s, that's twice your life that you have lived since 15. But I also think that's a testament to like how deeply these things are ingrained and don't leave you. I think I still feel like a wallflower sometimes, you know, that's still something I'm dealing with. It's
Yeah.
again something in becoming an actor. It's suddenly like, well, what if now being mousy is like an advantage? That's a character, you know?
Yes, and then to be seen for who you are. I love what you said in the very beginning about how this kind of touches the topic of being seen and not being
Yeah.
seen. And I think about that a lot. I think as a kid, I didn't want to be seen
Yeah.
necessarily. So, like I did, but I also didn't because I didn't like the feelings that came with it. And that's why I wanted to be Cammy. And now that I'm more of a Bex, I'm like, no, that's fine. That's fine. I'll be seen. I'll be seen. I'm still a spy.
Yeah. Well, I think first, like, that's what makes Josh, like, what makes her fix on to Josh so much is she's in her chameleon moment. No one look at me, and he sees her. And I think that as a writer, that's when the love interest or whoever it is taps exactly into, I don't know, the opposite of it. Like the last book I did was Tale of Despero,
Okay.
which is about a tiny little mouse who falls in love with a princess, and he has these huge oversized ears. And it's very Ratatouille. It's very much like you're so different because you have these ears.
Yeah.
And when the little mouse meets the princess, she goes, oh my God, I love your ears. They're so soft and velvety. And when that insecurity becomes the number one thing that they love the most about you, it just is nourishing to the soul.
It is. Yeah. Oh, no, that's so true. That's so true. I also love this, like, sure, Josh did see her, and that's why she did fall for him. But then at the end, I think she kind of realizes, out of anyone, though, her friends see her the most.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and they saw in her the desire to have someone who's interested in her, who sees her. I mean, I think the parental relationships are really huge in this book.
They
And
are, which I loved that too.
yes, and I think she is the daughter of two incredible spies. She's the daughter of the headmistress. There's like so much that comes on your shoulders in that way. And Josh doesn't know about any of that. So, of
He
course,
doesn't.
that really sings to her. Yeah.
Yeah, she's able to exist outside of context.
Exactly.
And it is so freeing to be able to exist outside of context.
Yeah. And there's even a moment later on, I think this might be in the, yes, in the barn scene. They go to like a barnyard dance.
I loved that whole, I think it was a few chapters probably because there's so much that happened, but I just loved that whole event.
Me too. I loved that, like, they comment on this, but like being with Josh, Cammy is getting to like be a normal kid and hit all of those like small town teen milestones. It's like they reference Gilmore Girls explicitly a couple times.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so nice because, like, even if you are a normal girl, your town probably does not have barnyard dances. And so it's nice that you get to engage with those, like, really typical, like, I never dated in high school, but reading this, you get to have those experiences. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the large part of the people reading this are young, impressionable women who probably do desire experiences like that. But the only way they're going to have access to them is through a world that Allie Carter's created.
Yeah.
And she made such a fun one. The way that I wanted this school to exist so badly, and that is something that I just held on to for so long.
And I immediately clocked, and then had I read this when I was younger, it would have like cemented it even further for me. It takes place a couple of hours outside of DC. I grew up an hour outside of DC.
I grew up like 15 minutes outside of DC. Where did you grow up?
Montgomery Village, Maryland. Where did you grow up?
Alexandria, Virginia.
Get out of town. Oh my
crazy.
Gosh.
That's so crazy. So the location of it,
yeah.
Both of us are like, oh, we get it. We get it. We know that this would be where it is.
Yes. That's such a thing that I feel like I describe Maryland as two halves. You have politics Maryland and crab Maryland.
Yes.
My boyfriend and I have been together for a long time. He's from just outside of LA. We see his family a lot. And so all the time I'm sort of realizing like the ways in which his geographic location shaped him and the way mine shaped mine.
Yeah.
And like politics, international intrigue is in everyone's mind. Like in sixth grade, everyone has opinions about the election.
Yes.
You don't really get to opt out of it. And so I loved that this was like, especially being in Virginia, I just automatically was like, yeah, it's probably like, I don't think Roseville exists. I did not check.
I'm pretty sure I checked when I was a kid because I really wanted to go.
Exactly.
Either, yeah.
But I am like, oh, this is like, must be 20 minutes away from Quantico or something. Like,
oh, yeah, so close to Langley. So close to Langley. It has to be.
Exactly. That's something that, growing up in the late 90s, early aughts, X-Files was huge.
Oh, yeah.
Especially growing up, I mean, where we grew up. And the thing that my parents still love about it is that the creator of X-Files, his like cousin or something, is from Gaithersburg, which is, you know, the town next to mine. So all of the Krulls are really specific to like
love.
Montgomery County.
That's amazing.
I loved it. I loved that like Macy is a senator's daughter because that is how it felt. Like everyone growing up where I grew up, it felt very rare that someone was like, no, my family is actually from Maryland and we've been here for a long time. It felt like everyone moves there for the politics.
Oh, 100%. 100%. This book was a way to enjoy the political climate without being political.
Exactly.
It's just like the fun part of it, the BTS of it.
Yeah, exactly. And especially like in the shadow of 9/11, it's a scary time. And I think that's like, again, we talked about like what makes the genre fun is making it exciting and explorative rather than frightening and ominous.
Yes, yes. And the way that this book made me want to be a spy in general, so formative. I was like, this is a great career. I mean, I didn't know anything about it, but I was like, obviously, this is, you know, what I am meant to do.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's like, it makes me bummed that I like did not latch on to this when my mom gave it to me. My mom is a political scientist. Both my parents are from Kentucky and they came to DC for my mom to do grad school. And she was just like, I'm not leaving. I love DC. And so she has only mentioned it once or twice, but when she was young, she wanted to be a spy, like growing up in the shadow of the Cold War. If you get her a little tipsy, she'll tell you about when she applied for a job at the CIA and you have to take a polygraph test. And I think it was like Russian translation or something. But I fully understand why, like as a kid, you're just like, I need to make my own identity. So I'm blocking everything else out. But I just feel, sorry, mom.
That's So that is, I just love that. Have you told her that you've now consumed this
No, I'll text her right now, actually.
I bet she would love that.
I'll
And the
text
title
her.
of this too, tell you I love you, but then I'd have to kill you. What a snappy title.
Oh my gosh. But back to that barnyard scene,
Oh yes.
the thing I completely got off track. There's a line where she's hanging out with Josh. Kids from Josh's school come in and he wants to hide from them. And there's a
Yes.
line where she goes, "I realized I might not be the only one in deep cover." And it jumped out to me of like, "Oh, that's the book. Like that's why this is resonant with people. That's the whole thing right there."
That's a good catch, first of all, to read that and be like, aha, because you're right on the money. That is what it is all about. Yeah. It's like, are you undercover right now? Or are you able to be your free spy self?
We touched on it. I want to talk about the parents.
Ooh, okay, yes.
So, mom is headmistress of this school. Her dad, I assume we get a lot more details later on.
In subsequent books, yes.
Her dad was also a secret spy.
He went on a mission and then he never came back. So it leaves this like huge vacuum of mystery.
Right. And Joe Solomon, the new teacher, knew him. There's a great moment at the end where he's like, "This specific thing you did, that was all your dad." And that sort of opens everything up. But the opening of, I think it's the last chapter, it says, "After I had learned the truth about my parents and before I came to the Gallagher Academy, the only time I wasn't worried was when they were both within my sight. I think that's when I started being the chameleon." That broke my heart.
Yeah, and that kind of tracks too. That's a very anxious attachment mindset.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Like you feel peace when you have everything that you're scared of losing in your grasp. Yeah.
And I feel like I didn't have that specific anxiety about my parents, but how that must weigh on you so much, and how, like, I think about it in like taking years off your life just from the amount of anxiety in your little tiny body.
Yeah. I love too that her mom was so integral to this book, so much a part of it, and that they had a good relationship too, one that was trustworthy, but that also had room for mistakes to be made because that showed too that conflict again in whatever relationship you have, conflict happens and that it can resolve itself. And it was very cool to see her mom be the headmistress and set a good example, be an active part of her life. But it was also kind of cool too to see Cammy do her own thing regardless and be like, oh, really? I'm a teen girl. I do have a crush and I am going to sneak out of school and I'm going to go to a barnyard dance.
And it's revealed in the end that her mom knew pretty much the entire time that she's sneaking out and lets her do that and lets her have her secrets. What a good template of a mom and daughter relationship, I think.
Super good template. Back to the friends seeing Cammy have this desire and fulfill it. It's like you just got to let people do their thing and let yourself do what you want to do. And it's okay to make mistakes. It really is okay. It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a fun book with, I think, really like gentle, affirming, comforting messages.
Yes.
It's all of these like sort of big and outlandish things, but ultimately the biggest messages are like, you are okay wherever you are, however you are. Like you said, it's okay. I think one of the things that shocked me the most is in this like final sort of reconciliation scene with her mom, where everything comes out, she's talking about sort of deciding whether or not to bring Cammy to the academy, whether or not to be a spy. "The thing I worried most about was that you'd spend your childhood learning to be hard and strong and never learned that it's okay to be soft and sweet." Especially growing up in the early aughts with our version of like girl power, girl boss feminism, I think the thing that Buffy was a huge touchstone for me, huge for the book, and I think that was the most wonderful moments of that show was that with all of the badassery, the kung fu, the bronze, she also, I mean, guys, if you've never watched Buffy, it's an amazing show, and I think one of the most heartbreaking moments in the first, I think it's the first season finale, she's talking about all of these things, you know, the world is ending, and she goes, "I just want to go to prom." That it's there's so much that the world is telling you not to be,
But
and
you're
it
still you. You're still a girl, a woman who wants to experience the world as you. I so wish that like having that like softer narrative to like it's okay to nurture that part of yourself. Being strong and like, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Back to Kelly Clarkson. Love all of that too. It's so important, but it's also, yeah, listen to your heart. You can follow it.
Yeah, I think there was such a hard overcorrection from, extreme femininity that all femininity is bad. And I think we are still trying to find that kind of in between. And I think this book does a really wonderful job of bringing those things together.
It does. It definitely does. It just goes back to like bringing the fun into things. And I'm thinking about Jason Bourne right now, but and also like I guess all those like male-centric action movies, Mission Impossible, Indiana Jones, all that jazz. The fun in those movies tends to be the romance. There's always a Bond girl, stuff like that. And that's super common to see. And I love that. That definitely adds another subplot to the movies. And I'm always eating that up. I want to know what's going on with the love story, of course. But it's so cool to see that play out in something that's female-centric, to let them have fun because it's a different type of fun. It's different. It's the more of a female gaze. Yeah, I think that's so powerful. And moving forward, I really hope to see more media that makes room for those types of stories.
There's so many fun moments where the girls get to be girls, where they get to like all go and we're all doing our makeup together and trying to pick out our outfits together, and none of it is looked down upon. It's like,
It's fun. It's play.
exactly. It's play, it's fun, and it's a together activity. Like, there's
It is a together activity. Community is at the heart of it, not the individual, really.
There's no boundaries. There's like, you can have this and I can have this and we can share, other than like pink eye, what's the worst that could happen? We're all together in this.
Yeah, that's something that is missing from a lot of like action media too.
The only thing that I can really think of is a franchise that surprisingly I've never delved into, which is Fast and Furious of the family.
Oh, and you know what? I know of it. I haven't dived into that either, so I may have spoken too soon. And that's all about like a
I think
family.
so. Yeah. Just I know the do you know what the series Dimension 20 at all?
No.
So it's on Dropout TV, which is, from College Humor. It's a game series where comedians play various Dungeons and Dragons games.
Oh, that's
It's
so fun.
my life goal is to get on this show on Dimension
Really?
20. Yes, it is, so much so. And they're doing a season right now that is all inspired by Fast and Furious, Die Hard. They've got some like James Bond super spy characters that are really fun.
Yeah.
And they keep riffing on what I am gathering is from Fast and Furious, of La Familia, of the family, of we're all together in this.
That is nice. I guess the heist movies do it too a little bit.
And heist movies, that's a
That's a whole other, yeah, perfect. If a heist movie comes out, I'm going to see it.
oh my gosh, that's another thing that, like, heist movies and ensemble movies, which are often together, so good. And I have this scene pulled up where Macy sort of pulls Cammy aside and says, "I hope he's worth it," about Josh and about all of the things that she's doing. It's a really phenomenal scene. She goes, "I don't like lying to your mom. I'll lie to mine, but not yours. That's messed up."
And that's a boundary. That's a boundary. She communicated her boundary, and I love that.
Exactly. She says, "I don't see what's so special about him that you'd risk losing what you've got." And Cammy says internally, "It was a good question, a great question, especially if you're Macy McHenry and everything in life has been given to you, but nothing has been earned. If
Ooh.
the world looks at your slick plastic shell and expects there to be nothing but candy inside, if this is your one and only shot at being part of a family despite your famous last name, then it's a really good question." All one page. Holy moly.
That's a jaw dropper for sure.
Just incredible. And I very few criticisms of this book, and I assume it gets into it in later books. Macy is such a fascinating character.
She's a very fascinating character, and her character arc across the series is one that I loved.
Yeah.
It's cool to witness, and it is a true arc. Yeah.
Nice. I'm definitely going to get the audiobooks for the rest of the series and keep going through because it's just such a fun world to exist in.
It's a fun world to straight up escape to and exist in, 100%. Also, back to what Macy said, that is also a good question as a young woman reading that to ask yourself where you're putting your energy. Is it worth it? Are you getting what you're giving?
Absolutely. I don't regret much in my life. I don't regret the relationships I've had. I've regretted the things I have lost because of like the friendships that I have lost due to focusing on relationships.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's such a big lesson to learn. Yeah. And it's kind of painful. But then I think you reach a point where you realize that you don't have to, with the right people in your life, you don't have to say goodbye to anyone or anything. And I think this book really kind of demonstrates that with the right people. Is Josh the right person? Probably not. But Cammie had to go and learn her lesson. And
Yeah.
her friends supported her in that journey.
Yeah. One of the highest moments of conflict that they get to, Liz says, "I never thought you were someone who'd choose a boy over her friends." And Cammie goes, "Well, I never thought I had friends who'd make me choose."
Okay, literally, yes. And also, my therapist historically has said if you are making someone choose, you've already lost.
Damn.
That back and forth of the dialogue, I mean, pretty much perfection. I live for good dialogue. And
Oh
that's
my gosh.
because it shows that both of those women, too, they're not wrong. They're both experiencing something so painful and they're communicating that reality to each other.
And the priority is still each other, is still like that this relationship is important. So why are either of us jeopardizing it? Why are there things coming in between it? Yeah.
Yeah. And ultimately, too, at the end of the day, if you want to see your relationships thrive, you have to prioritize yourself so that you can show up whole to the relationship. I believe that's what Cammie was doing. She chose herself over the course of this book. And it's so cool to see someone do that and to see them make mistakes and then to see them bounce back from it.
Yeah, and this is something, a hanging thread that I really wanted to bring up because it did make my jaw drop a little bit. Josh gets into Gallagher Academy, learns all the secrets, everything seems to be good. He's saying goodbye to Cammie. There's a little flicker, the relationship might not be over. And he goes, "Oh, tell your mom thanks for the tea." And I'm like, "Oh
That was a gut
no,
punch
is it the
as a
memory
kid
erasing tea?"
reading that. You're like, what do you mean? It was all for
Took my breath away.
But also good that Josh did not go out into the world knowing those secrets.
No, he seems like a good kid, but that's a lot.
That's a heavy secret to carry. That's a state secret.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Oh, here, this is a moment that we had mentioned it earlier about the most satisfying romantic interests being the people who see those things that you see as negative as positives.
Yeah.
I'd never felt less invisible in my life. I forgot about Bex and Macy and their great bodies, Liz and her gorgeous blonde hair. Even my mother faded from my mind as I saw myself through Josh's eyes. For the first time in a long time, I didn't want to disappear.
It cuts deep. It cuts very deep. For the first time in a long time, I didn't want to disappear. Wow.
She's a fantastic writer, especially like with that moment with the tea that we had just mentioned. It's like that's a huge plot moment to have literally as a throwaway line.
And via dialogue too. So good. So good. Having this adapted to the screen, Ally Carter would kill this.
Oh my gosh.
It would read like poetry. I was just reading her about at the end of the book.
Oh yeah.
Ally Carter lives in the Midwest, where she is hard at work on her next Gallagher Girls adventure. Cross my heart and hope to spy. This is a very old copy of the book. Her life is either ordinary or the best deep cover legend ever. We'd tell you more, but dot dot dot. You know,
It's just so cute and fun.
it is, but there's like these nuggets of wisdom and profoundness. I think that that's a word. And it's so cool. She did such a good job at creating something that's captivating. It builds a world and it also teaches really important lessons. And I know that like Hogwarts is for sure on the mind here. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know if like I've read Harry Potter growing up. I absolutely loved it. I don't necessarily know though if like it taught me as much as this did.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think even though in those books you're in such an expansive world, I feel like it's so narrow to the experiences of one character. And I think like that world obviously expands through the course of the books and you get more and more characters, but this is always about community from the very beginning.
It is. It definitely is. Yeah, from the get-go. It's not just like, sure, it's Cammy's story in a way. And I love that it's written in the first person point of view. I live for that. And I love that it's phrased as like her covert operations report. Like talk about within the first page of the book. I mean, it's only a half a page too. It just answers everything at once.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It answers, you know, and I suppose a lot of teenage girls feel invisible at times, like they just disappear. But then she jumps to, I go to a school for spies. And then she immediately paints a picture of what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also outlines, again, this is just the first page, that her mom's the headmistress. It's like, okay, here's this whole world. And this is a COVOPS report. There you go. Like,
yeah.
Get ready. Like they set the expectation immediately.
It's so fun. And it's again, all these details. After all, when you're on a plane home from Istanbul with a nuclear warhead and a hat box, the last thing you want to do is write a report about it.
Because it's phrased so teenage girly. It's so cool at the same time. And I think, oh, here we go. This book shows that girly can be cool.
You hit it exactly. I think we have such a propensity culturally to say anything that is teenage girl is lowest of the low.
But it's actually so powerful. Who's the most terrifying part of the population? Teenage girls.
Exactly. I think it's constant interplay of like, if I really want to get on my soapbox, we may like people shit on Taylor Swift because she is the interest of young girls, because also she has more money than anybody. She has more cultural influence than anybody, you know, X, Y, and Z. So it's so we have to diminish her. We have to focus on her relationships in order to make this less scary. So on.
That's such a good point. That's such a good point. Gosh, I do hope to live to see the day when the feminine teenage part of the population realizes their power.
Which I think it's like, is why things like this, where you are giving them not only power, but like the nuclear codes, I think is so fun for when you're young and when you're older.
Yeah, it is fun. It's fun. This book is so good.
Yeah, I love the driver's ed sequences. It's so,
oh yeah,
just so fun. Yeah, the everything about the chameleon, about being invisible, cut me so deeply, just because I feel like I don't see that. I think we see that a lot in like wallflower characters, but I don't think it's often the like emotional forefront of what we're working through.
No, and it's often not celebrated.
That's so true. It's what's so radical about this book is like, I'm a wallflower and it's a good thing.
It's a gift. It's a skill. It's a talent.
Mm-hmm.
This book shows too, like, it's okay to not be the center of attention and that there's actually a lot of power in that too.
Yeah.
But I love with like characters like Bex, it's also okay to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
Girl, as long as you are being yourself, it's cool. You can do it. You can be a spy or you can be a superstar. It's up to you.
It cuts to the way that it feels. I'm looking at the line of, am I good at going unnoticed because of my spy genetics or just because I've always been shy? Am I just the girl people would rather not see, lest they realize how easily it could happen to them?
Ooh.
Yeah, that, even out at 26, I'm like, that's a little too...
That's a little deep. And it's so interesting how much Cammy cared about being seen, really came out through a relationship with a male.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when she's talking about how Josh Okay, yeah. Liz, I snapped. I looked up at the lights and watched our descent. It's just not worth the risk, okay? My voice cracked as I thought of how he'd said I was just some girl. I was nobody. It wasn't very spy-like to be sad over such a silly thing, but mostly I didn't want my friends to hear it. Guys, it's okay. Josh isn't interested in me. That's fine. I'm not the kind of guy, I'm not the kind of girl guys like. It's no biggie.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's something I am like still deconstructing in my head of like thinking for so long that you were so undesirable. There's even a moment where she comes back from her first date and Macy says, "You've been to second base yet?" And Cammy goes, "You think I could get to second base?" That was me. That was so like I think that was something that so radically changed, like that made my first relationship so impactful, was that mentally the whole time I was like, someone's finally decided I'm worth it.
Oh my God, yes. Yes. It's so interesting. Through someone else's eyes, sometimes it does help to see yourself. And
Yeah.
then you go, wait a second. Yeah, I am desirable. And yeah, I have these cool features about me. And yeah. The vulnerability too of like not wanting your friends to see that part of you was so interesting. Because it's like they do see you. That's why they're friends with you.
There are all these beautiful moments where she's out on a date or something, and then oops, like your friends are there watching over you, making sure they're here to pull you out of the barnyard because your mom's outside on a date with your teacher. It's just so cute.
It really is. I hope that the younger generations, I'm so curious, like what the book sales are like for this book now.
Ooh.
I'm so honored, one, to join you on your podcast, and two, to have such a deep, meaningful conversation about a book that really meant so much to my young self and still means so much to my inner child.
I love doing this podcast, getting to spend time with the younger self. And I think specifically about this book is like, let's take all of those things that everyone poops on about young girls and let's not only have fun with it, let's make it the superpower. Let's go wild.
I love that. I love that. Thanks, Erin. This was truly such a delight.
Thank you. Is there anything you'd like to plug as we round out?
Oh, actually, yes. I have a newsletter that I would love to get out there a little bit more. It's called Dear Beloveds, and it's written entirely in the first person. It's a monthly kind of summary of my thoughts and feelings and experiences. And it's so sincere that it feels almost satirical.
I love that.
Yeah.
Sincerity is so underrated. I love
It is.
it.
Sincerity is like the funniest thing in the world. It's so funny. It's just natural comedy.
Yeah. That was something that I think so permanently rotted part of my brain about growing up in the aughts is that sincerity was so frowned upon. Like caring was so gross.
Right? And it's taken me probably the past decade to like unlearn that and to like
Yes.
dismantle those belief systems, where it's like, we actually do care very deeply, and I am actively trying.
Yeah, it's okay to like things and to feel things and have fun.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is great. I loved this so much. I'm so excited.
Uh-oh, I forgot something. I forgot to ask the titular question. The titular question. I'm so ashamed, but I don't think it's ever been maybe as obvious as it is with this book. It is required. It's required. It's required reading. The end. Next week, we are doing Uglies with Natalie Ortega. My name is Erin Bowles. You can support the show at buymeacoffee.com/required reading. For example, what is it called? The ebook for Uglies costs $10. So if you'd like to cover that charge, that'd be real great. If not, I'm so glad you're here. Oh God, I'm gonna say the horrible phrase. Light. Rate, review, tell your friends. Just please, if you've listened this far, give me some kind of sign that you are listening. It's bad. It's bad. Okay. My name is Erin Bowles. You can find me everywhere at Erin R. Bowles. The R stands for... Oh. Roundabout. As an adjective? As a noun? That's up to you. I'll see you next time, babies.